Come on, all across the space, would you lift up a shout of praise to Jesus? Oh, we love you, Lord. We honor you, God. There's no one like you, Jesus. Come on, just 20 seconds. Would you lift up some adoration? Would you begin to lift up your own shout? Lift up your own song? Lift up your own clap, your own dance? Come on, he's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all your worship. He's worthy of all of your attention and heart. Oh, come on, Nation of Youth. Can we just take a moment and lift the roof off this place tonight for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. We love you, we honor you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord. There's no one else like you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, we honor you, we give you glory tonight. Come on, would you lift your hands all across this room? Would you lift your hands if you're watching even online? Father God, we lift you high. I thank you that your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. And I ask, Father God, that you would turn this auditorium into a sacrifice of praise. Lord God, would it not be about whether we feel like it? Would it not be about whether we're walking through a good season or a difficult season? Would it be all about you and that you are worthy and that you're seated on the throne and that you were crucified, but you rose from the dead and you're coming back again? Father God, I ask tonight that you would restore in us, restore in me, restore in our leaders, restore in our teenagers a conviction and a revelation of what it means to truly praise you. We love you and give you honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, everyone shouted, everyone yelled. Come on, just give Jesus a clap of praise one more time. We love you, Lord. Ah, you're awesome, Jesus. Woo! Man, I feel it in my bones. God's going to do something good tonight. Turn to your neighbor, shake him, and say you made a good decision to be in the house tonight. You guys can take your seat. Take your seat. Amazing. Hey, before we get into the word and all of that, I've got a really exciting announcement. Who here was at Nations Youth Summer Camp earlier this year? Man, what God did there was just so, so special. And you might not have known this, but our final session of summer camp, session number 5 on the Saturday night, we actually didn't just film it, but we recorded it. And over the last few months, we've been working with a producer and we've actually gone through and mixed it all and got it to a professional standard. And at 9 p.m. tonight, Nations Youth is releasing a brand new album from that set that's going to be available on Spotify, available on Apple Music, available on YouTube. Moments live from summer camp. And so in 1 hour and 3 minutes time, you can download that. You can get access to that on your phone. But man, I've already listened to it in my own bedroom. And I remember when I was just listening to the first mix of it, sitting on my bed and crying because I was re-experiencing the presence and the anointing of God. And you know, who here was at camp? Give me a wave, man. What, wasn't it just so special what God did in that room? And our heart wasn't to, you know, capture a production. It was to capture God's presence, because his presence is just so captivating. And I pray this would be something that you listen to in your own time. I pray it'd be something that helps you engage with God's presence on a Monday, on a Tuesday, something you put in your AirPods and go for a walk around your suburb and pray, something you put on your bedroom and encounter God and seek his presence. I pray this would be a blessing to your own time with God, to your own devotion. So can we just thank our worship team, our media teams, everyone that's put in every bit of effort with that. Jesus, we thank you. And I cannot wait to listen. It's going to be amazing. But everyone say 9 p.m. It'll be live on all platforms at 9 p.m. tonight, and that is going to be amazing. Nations Youth, who here is excited and ready for God's Word tonight? Come on. Who here is so excited and ready? You brought your Bible to the house of God. Where the Bible's at? If you've got a physical Bible, wave it in the air like you just don't care. Let's go. Let's go. Bible revival. If you've got your physical Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Psalms. Somebody say Psalm. Turn to your neighbor and say Psalm. Turn to your other neighbor and say, somebody once told me the world. You can have that one for free. If you don't have a physical Bible, you can open the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, you can download it. If you don't have a smartphone, it's probably for the best. Get the physical Bible, it will bless you. But Psalm 22, verse number 3, I'm reading out of the ESV tonight. It says this, yet you are holy. Someone say holy.
Holy.
Turn to your neighbor and say holy.
Holy.
Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. The title of my sermon tonight is simply this, make praise holy again. Turn to your neighbor and say, make praise holy again. Turn to your other neighbor and just shout at him, it's time to make praise holy. See, this is a phrase that really came to our youth ministry late last year. We put it on hats at summer camp to say, make praise holy again. And I just believe that it's more than just a nice moment from a term. It's more than a nice phrase on a hat. It's a prophetic declaration of what God is wanting to do and is doing in this generation. See, I don't know about you, but praise may be sometimes being confused for some of us. Maybe for some of us, we don't realize how powerful praise is. Maybe we don't realize how anointed praise is. But I believe tonight, God is wanting to give you a conviction. He's wanting to give you a revelation. He's wanting to reveal to you just how holy praise is. Praise isn't just for a moment in a service. It's not just for a Friday gathering. It's for your life. It's for your world. It's for your Monday. It's for your Tuesday. It's for your Sunday morning drive to church. It's for your Wednesday night stay at home. Praise is not optional. Praise is holy. Praise is not a side thing. It's the main thing that I believe God is wanting to restore in this day and in this hour. And I pray that as I preach this word, as we share on this, that you wouldn't just hear, that you would jump into the waters tonight. And prophetically, I just want to start by saying this. At the end of this message, there's going to be an opportunity to make praise holy in your life. And you might be a leader in this place. You might be a leader in our Port Kennedy campus. You could be a volunteer in our Wangara campus. You might be your first time in the room tonight. Maybe it's your first time as a teenager. I want to encourage you. God is wanting to give to you a conviction of praise. God is wanting to restore to you a revelation of praise. Praise is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the worship team. It's not just for the youth. It is for you. It's for your life. It's something God is restoring. And my prayer, so you wouldn't just hear a message, you would jump into the water. That would become a revelation in your life. Become a conviction in your world. Because there'll be some things that you face in your life that the only way through it is to praise God. But I pray that when you're 40 years old, when you're 50 years old, you wouldn't be blindsided by the devil, but you'd have such a conviction of praise that no matter what comes your way, you begin to tell Jesus he's wonderful. You tell Jesus he's worthy, he's holy, and you watch that situation turn around. You watch God's presence come into that room. You watch God move as he prays. And we just lift your hands all across this place one last time. Holy Spirit, I get out of the way and I just ask that you would come. We don't want to hear the words of man tonight. We want to hear from your heart. Holy Spirit, I ask, would you give every listening ear in this place tonight a conviction of praise? Would it go beyond even a moment in our service? Would it go beyond an altar call at the end? Would it go beyond one moment of encounter in your presence? Would it become a conviction and a lifestyle of this youth ministry and of this house? Father God, I ask tonight that you would restore praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said? Everyone shouted? Come on, let's give Jesus one more clap of praise. Amen. Amen, amen. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God. You're wonderful, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. Amen, amen. Hey, can we thank the worship team as well? You guys are awesome. Got the two drum kits, the one bass. Took a drink of water there. The two keyboards, the one keyboard tonight, the two guitars over there, they've just got ones and twos. Turn to your neighbor and say ones and twos. That kind of sounds like you're going to the bathroom. We're not going to the bathroom though. Ones and twos. You know, make praise holy. The Bible says in Psalm 22 that Jesus or God is holy. Someone say holy. Now, that word holy, we hear it in youth and we hear it in church, but sometimes we maybe don't really understand what it means. You know, holy actually has a definition to it. Let's put that up on the screen. Holy means set apart. It means treated differently. It means recognized as special. So when we say that God is making praise holy again, what we're really saying is that He's making praise set apart. He's treating praise differently. We're recognizing there's something special about praise. You know, we have things in our life that we treat as holy all the time without realizing it. You know, when you, give me a wave, you play sport on a weekend. Where are my soccer or football players at? Let's go. Joseph Gann, pray for West Ham. They've got one game to stay in the Premier League. We believe with you. Anyone play AFL in this place? Anyone play rugby in this place? You know, if you play a field sport, you will notice that you wear football boots. Someone say football boots. I don't know if you realize this, but football boots are holy. They're actually set apart. What I mean by that is there are places you wear football boots and there's places you don't wear football boots. And you know, you don't wear football boots when you go to the mall. You don't wear football boots at school. You don't wear football boots to the dinner dance. You wear football boots to the football pitch. Football boots are holy for the football pitch. They are set apart. They are separated. They are reserved for that location. Who here brushes their teeth? Give me a wave. Man, who, in fact, turn up the house lights. Who here doesn't brush their teeth? Give me a wave. I need to speak to some young year seven boys in this place tonight. Firstly, it's disgusting. Secondly, you should do it at least twice a day. Someone say twice a day. Lift your right hand in the air. Repeat after me. I will not go to bed without first brushing my teeth. Give yourselves a round of applause. Let's go. Now, did you know, Sam Chung, that your toothbrush is holy? Did you know, Sam, that your toothbrush is holy? Turn to your neighbor and say, your toothbrush is holy. What do I mean by that? There are some things that your toothbrush is meant to do, and there are some things your toothbrush is not meant to do. Now, how many people in this place, your mum makes you clean your bathroom? Give me a wave. Let's go. Where are the good people? Let's go. Love it. Does anyone in this place have their toothbrush for their teeth, but then there's that other toothbrush underneath the sink? You know, that one that the bristles are just kind of, the bristles stop being bristly in about 1947, you know? And it looks a bit funky. It's kind of got some orange stuff growing on it. But it's still functional. And what you do, you put the bleach out and you scrub the grout. You get in all the crevices, you get in the corners. It's the same instrument, but it's now got a different purpose. How many of you know, you better not mistake your toothbrush with your cleaning brush. Why? Because your toothbrush is holy, your cleaning brush is common. There are some things you don't want to take that cleaning brush and put it in your mouth. Oh, no. Your toothbrush is reserved for your teeth. There is a certain place, there is a certain location that is reserved for. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Nations Youth Ministry, that praise is not common. Praise is not dirty. Praise is not just for the everyday. Praise is holy. Praise is set apart. Praise is glorious. Praise is reserved unto God. And because praise is holy, there are some things we do in praise and there are some things we don't do in praise. You know what we don't do? We don't use praise as a moment to wait for worship to start. We don't use praise as a moment to chat to that girl you've got a crush on. Hello, somebody. Wait. Celine's getting passionate right now. We don't use praise as a moment to go to the bathroom before the preaching starts. Now, let me just cut, nothing wrong going to the bathroom. There's nothing wrong chatting or hanging out with people, but there's something holy about praise. That praise is not just a filler. It's not just a fast song at the beginning of the service because we want to have a good time. No, no, there's something anointed about praise. There's something powerful about praise. There's something reserved about praise. And in this day and in this hour, I'm here to tell you tonight, God is restoring a conviction of praise. God is restoring the anointing of praise. God is making praise holy again. Turn to your neighbor and say, make praise holy. And so I want to spend the rest of our time tonight talking about what is it about praise that is so holy? What is it about praise that makes it different to every other song on the radio? What is it about praise that's different to other music we're used to, other moments we live our life by? What sets it apart? What makes it different? Why do we treat it differently? What makes praise holy? My prayer is that as I share this, this wouldn't just be information, it would be conviction to your own heart. And that God wouldn't just speak to us, He would impart to us a conviction of praise in this moment. Is this okay so far? So if you're writing notes tonight, I want you to write this down. Point number one, make praise holy again. You got to know, number one tonight, praise is not a personality type. Now, how many of you know there's different personalities out there? Give me a wave. Where are my extroverts at? Where are my people that love to chat all the time? Give me a wave. Where are my introverts at? Do you guys tell the noise difference between the extroverts and the introverts? Let's try it one more time. Where are my extroverts at? Make some noise. Where are my introverts at? Make a whisper. Where are all my, you know, there's some people where it's like their love language is touch and they just love to hug everyone. They love to get, where are all my favorite big, you know, touch people at? Give me a wave. It's like you're hugging everybody. Now this is a bit more my type people. Where are the people that are like, leave me alone. I'm happy in my personal space. Thank you very much. Let's go. There's different personalities. It's different flavors, different preferences. But the thing is, if we're not careful, we can draw a conclusion that some people are called to praise, and for some people, it's not really their thing. We can look at someone like Celine. Celine, would you stand up? Give Celine a round of applause. Now, who here has ever heard Celine before? It's actually the whole room because she's the loudest person I've heard the whole night. She's also part of our dance team. Everywhere you go, I didn't say sit down, come on. Every room you go to, you'll know if Celine's there. Why? Because she's loud, she's energetic, she's bubbly, she's full of noise, she's full of passion. She's got what we would call a loud personality. But if we're not careful, we can make the mistake of thinking, okay, praise is for someone like Celine because Celine's naturally like that. But I'm naturally a little bit more reserved. I'm naturally a little bit more quiet. And because of my nature, praise is for her, but not for me. You can sit down. Thank you, Celine. Give her a round of applause. Yeah, I love that. The only challenge with this is the Bible contradicts that thought completely. Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud. Someone say loud. Loud. Someone yell loud. Loud. Songs of joy. You know what the Bible doesn't say? It doesn't say clap your hands, all you Celines. It doesn't say clap your hands, all you extroverts. It doesn't even say clap your hands, everyone who's going through a good time right now. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. I'm here to tell you tonight, whether you're the quietest person in the room or the loudest person in the room, you were created to praise. You were created to worship. You were created to bring praise unto God. Doesn't just say clap. Someone clap, one, two, three. It says to shout. Someone say shout. Shout to God. Doesn't say whisper to God. for all those times, like, oh no, I'm more of like the reflective worshiper, you know? I like to put on that instrumental music and sit up the back. And look, I love an instrumental in a sitting session as much as the next youth pastor. But the issue is the Bible doesn't say, shout to God, all you people that have loud voices. It actually instructs every single person to clap their hands, every single person to shout. Why? Because there is an invitation upon every single person to get a revelation of praise. I'm here to tell you tonight, praise is not a preference. Praise is not a personality type. Praise is a conviction. Praise is biblical. And praise is holy again in our house. But we've got a thing in our generation where we want to be authentic. Someone say, I'm authentic. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm authentic. And I get it. We want to be true. We want to be real. We don't want to pretend. Don't want to do things out of hype. I don't want to put on a show. The issue is that there's multiple parts to you. And so, yes, there is a flesh part of you, but there's also a spirit part of you. And so when someone says, I'm not really a praising person, what person are you talking about? Are you talking about your flesh person? Or are you talking about your spirit person? Because your flesh might not want to clap. Your flesh might not want to shout. Your flesh might feel uncomfortable knowing the friend you've been praying for is finally here tonight and you don't want to freak him out. And so your flesh tells you to quiet it down. And I'm not telling you to not be authentic. I'm just telling you, be authentic to the true you, the spirit you, the praising you. You were created to praise. You were created to worship. You were created to clap your hands. You were created to shout. You were created to dance. You were created to lift up a shout of praise to God. And sometimes it's a journey for us to step out of the flesh or the soul and step into the spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, the real you praises. When we get to heaven, we're going to praise God. And it's not the loud people or the it's all people that will praise God. Why? Because praise is not a personality type. I love it in Matthew 21. Jesus comes into the city riding on a donkey. And this is what it says in verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city, someone say the entire city, was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked, and the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It wasn't just a few, it was the entire city. Because praise isn't a preference, it's not a personality. It's biblical and it's for you. You know, I had some really good news on Wednesday morning when I woke up this week. And that's because on Tuesday night, around the hours of 3:20 p.m., a.m., I should say, Bournemouth Football Club actually drew with Manchester City Football Club and made it statistically impossible for Manchester City to win the title. And so for the first time in 22 years, Arsenal Football Club from North London is the Premier League champion of the... You're making me want to sing the North London chant. It's amazing. Are there any Arsenal fans out there? Just make some noise right now. Let's go. It's a divided crowd. Is there any Manchester City fans out there? Enjoy not winning. But as I went on Instagram the next day and I wore my Arsenal shirt to work and celebrated with every single person, whether they wanted to or not, something convicted me is I saw the way the people began to praise because their football team had won a Premier League title for the first time in 22 years. You know, what happened is Arsenal fans were so stoked and so excited. It was the middle of a week. It was a Tuesday night in North London. But a few people started to gather at the Emirates Stadium. No one even played there. They just started to gather. Then a few hundred came, and then a few thousand came, then tens of thousands came. And then there was literally about 100,000 people gathered outside the Emirates Stadium on a Tuesday night, and they were clapping, they were shouting, they were rejoicing, they were dancing, they were praising. Why? Because their team had won a victory. Can we just show that video of the crowd from Tuesday night at about 2 a.m. in the morning? Can we go to that next video outside the Emirates Stadium? Just pause that there for a moment. I look at this, and there's no worship team leading them. There's no band. There's no sound system. There's no event. But there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of grown men on a Tuesday night that have to be up at 6:30 a.m. for work the next day. And they're not sitting back going, oh no, I'm a bit more of a reserved celebrator. I'll celebrate, but I'll celebrate at home with my kids. No. They're out on a Tuesday, they're jumping, they're clapping, they're dancing, they're singing ole, 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 till the cows come home. Why? Because praise has got nothing to do with their personality and everything to do with the revelation that their team has won. I want to tell you tonight, Arsenal winning the Premier League might not sell it to you, but we got a Jesus who defeated the grave, who defeated hell, who rose again. We've got the greatest victory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's alive. He's on the throne. He's seated in heaven. He's coming back again. We have the victory of all victories. And we would have the audacity to say to King Jesus, who hung on that tree with blood dripping off him, a crown of thorns on his head, we would have the audacity to look at him and say, praise isn't my personality. Put up that video one more time and pause it somewhere real quick of the big crowd. Just pause that right there. Look at this guy. I wonder what type of week he's had. I look at this person over there. I wonder if they're extroverted or introverted. You know what I don't see? I don't see excuses of personality. I don't see excuses of season of life. I don't see people being reserved because they grew up in a more reserved football club. I see people chanting, people yelling, people clapping, people dancing because they got a revelation of the victory that they've got. I want to encourage you, if you struggle with praise, it's time to get a greater revelation of who Jesus is. He's not just a historical figure. He's the King of Kings. He's coming back again. He holds the keys to death and the grave. He's worthy of all of your praise. No, we don't just praise with our shouts and with our claps, but we actually praise with our dance. This is going to upset some religious spirits, but let's do it anyway. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12, David went and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, and David danced before the Lord. David didn't just shout, he didn't just clap, he danced. He danced before the Lord wearing a priestly garment, and so David and all the people brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horn. I don't know whether David was a dancer or not, but I know he had a revelation of praise. And maybe for you, you're not much of a dancer, that's cool. We can praise with our words, we can praise with our bodies, and we can praise with our dance. I remember years ago watching Planet Shakers and seeing that in their praise and worship times, they'd have dancers on stage. And If I'm honest, as a young adult, I looked to that and I thought, man, that's a little bit corny. I don't know if that's really for me. I don't know if that's really my personality. I like, it's cool for them, but that's just strange. We live in Australia. What do they think's happening right here? But then I went to Planet Shakers Conference, and I was in the room, and I just remember the glory of God being so thick and so dense and so potent in that place. And I remember watching the dancers on the platform rejoice and clap and twirl and move, and I got convicted. Because what I had been calling corny, God had been naming holy. It wasn't that they had a personality that I didn't have. It was that they had a revelation I didn't have. They understood God's victory in a way I hadn't tasted of myself. And can I submit to you kindly tonight, young person, that praise, it's got nothing to do with your personality and everything to do with your revelation of who Jesus is. And I pray tonight that that revelation would hit your heart so hard that you literally can't contain it, because you feel so free, that you explode with rejoicing praise because you see how good, how wonderful, how holy the Lamb of God is. Point number one tonight, praise is not a personality type. I'm going to keep moving. Point number two, someone say point number two. Praise magnetizes the presence of God. Who here knows how magnets work? Put a magnet out, metal gets drawn to that moment. Did you know that your praise draws God's presence? That scripture we read at the beginning, Psalm 22 verse 3, it says you are enthroned. Someone say enthroned. The King James Version puts it this way. Who loves a good King James Version? All the scholars out there. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Thou that inhabitest, someone say inhabitest. That word inhabitest, it's a Hebrew word which means you're sharp. And the direct translation for that is literally to sit, to remain, to dwell, and to abide. It's where we get our word, habitat. Have you ever been to the zoo before? Can we put up that photo of that lion? Who loves a good David Attenborough documentary? Where this is the lion in his natural habitat. We go, yeah, it makes sense. I get what he's trying to say is the lion lives there. Can we go to the next slide of the penguins? Spoiler, there's a monkey one coming. Brace yourself, it gets very exciting. This is the penguins. And I don't know why I sound like Voldemort. But the penguins are in their natural habitat. And we understand, we get it. Because where they are is normal for them. It's cold for us, but it's normal for them. It's full of ice, it's brisk, they're on a floating iceberg. Where else would you rather be if you're a penguin? Let's go to the one of the monkey, just because we know it's coming. Sweet, isn't it? Just all these monkey noises start appearing. Ooh, 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 ooh. We look at that and we go, yeah. That makes sense. It makes sense that the monkey's in the tree, the lion's in the field, and the penguins are on the ice. I get it because they dwell there, they live there, they inhabit that place. They yashab that environment. You know, God, according to Psalm 22, has a habitat. God has a place that he is most comfortable. God has an environment that he is most drawn to. One that he dwells in, he sits on, he lives in, he rests upon. And according to Psalm 22, it's not the complaints of his people. It's not the hardship you're walking through. It's the praises of his people. The reason praise is holy is because when we lift up Jesus' name, when we step out of the flesh us and into the spirit us, When we get over ourselves and say, it doesn't matter what type of week I'm walking through, doesn't matter how extroverted or introvert I am, I'm going to give God praise because He's worthy of it. And we begin to clap, we begin to shout, we begin to dance, we begin to get undignified before Him. What does God do? God comes and lives there. That's why we have praise in a service. It's not a moment to warm the people up for the word. It's a magnet for God's presence. That God is drawn to the praises of His people. God has an address. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you want God's manifest presence in your life, it's time to restore a conviction of praise in your life. Some of you, your own quiet time with God, it's like, man, I don't know why I feel God here on a Friday, but I don't really feel Him on a Tuesday when I spend time. Could it be that on a Friday, there's 300 people telling Jesus He's worthy, He's wonderful, clapping, praising, shouting, and so His presence comes, but your Tuesday morning has got about one thank you, Jesus, and 100 please do this for me. There is no, hear me, young person, hear me, youth leader. There is nothing wrong with making requests to God. The Bible encourages us to do it. Present your requests to God. But it doesn't stop there. It says also to thank Him and to praise Him. The problem for us is if all we ever do is make requests of God and treat Him like Santa Claus, what happens is His presence doesn't inhabit our request. It inhabits our praise. There are some situations that you need the manifest presence of God, and it's time to get a conviction of praise back again. It's time to put on Planet Boom in your bedroom and dance until God's presence comes. It's time to shout. Maybe some of you are uncomfortable because your parents might hear. It's time to put your AirPods in and jump up and down and tell Jesus He's worthy and wonderful. Why? Because God is looking for praises to inhabit. God is looking for shouts to be drawn to. God is looking for dances to respond to. God's eyes are looking for a praising people. I want to encourage you tonight, praise isn't a personality. Number two, praise magnetizes God's presence. And you know, God is everywhere. Psalm 139 tells us, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me. There's nowhere you can go, God is not. But although God's omnipresence is everywhere, His manifest presence only comes to certain places and spaces. It's where we see those suddenly moments. The day of Pentecost, we're celebrating it on Sunday. Suddenly, a sound from heaven filled the house. God was already there, but then the manifest presence came. What causes God to come? Just because it's suddenly doesn't mean it's randomly. He's being drawn to His address. He's sitting upon your praise. I want to challenge you, when you're in worship and your mind's distracted because you're thinking about the friend next to you or what you're going to eat that night, imagine your words are literally building a throne for God. And as you say, Jesus, You're so wonderful. Jesus, You're so holy. I thank You for the cross. I thank You for dying and rising again. Thank You for choosing me. God, there's no one like You. I could search across all the earth and find there is none like You. Jesus, You're beautiful. Jesus, You're wonderful. You might not realize it, but in the Spirit, Your words are creating a throne for the manifestation of God's presence to come. You can access God's presence every day, but the key is God's praise. Make praise holy again. Point number one, praise is not a personality type. Number two, praise magnetizes God's presence. Number three, if the whole worship team could come join me as we bring it to a close, praise is a problem for your problem. Acts 16, Paul and Silas are doing Christian stuff. And they were just ministering and stuff. Kind of just being missionaries, really. Let's read the story. Once we were going to the place of prayer, how many of you know that's a good idea? We were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. How many of you know that's not a great idea? She earned a great deal of money from her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, he didn't say to the girl, he said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. Now we would think, praise God. How many of you know when it comes to demons, better out than in? Problem was, the slave owners didn't think it was a good idea. Because the Bible says that in verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. So they brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowds joined in their attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. How many of you know that's a bad day on the mission field? After they had been severely flogged, not just a little bit, severely, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. And if I was Paul and Silas, I'd be feeling a little bit ripped off. Because they're in a hardship, not because they did the wrong thing, but because they did the right thing. I want to tell you, young person, sometimes you'll go through challenges because you make a mistake. But sometimes you're going to go through challenges not because you do the wrong thing, but because you're following Jesus. Sometimes it's because you love God and you obey His voice that people persecute you. Sometimes it's going to be because you invite your friend to youth that friendship group turns on you. Sometimes it's going to be because you actually step out in faith, you get rejected. Some of the prisons, some of the challenges coming our way aren't because we do the wrong thing, it's because we do the God thing. The question isn't, are we going to go through a challenge? The question is, what will we do when a challenge comes? And I love it because I could just imagine Paul and Silas being in prison having a choice. Going, man, this is a literal hard time. If I was at youth and they asked who had a difficult week, my hand would be up. Except it's stuck up here because it's in a stock and I can't move. I've been beaten. I've been whipped. I've been persecuted. I've been wrongfully in prison and I'm stuck here. And I don't even know when this situation is going to change. Paul and Silas had every reason to be depressed. They had every reason to complain. They had every reason to start a blog around church hurt and how the church should help them in this situation. You want a reason to be upset and offended? They had them all. But I love it because what does the Bible say they choose to do? They had a decision. Are they going to live out of their flesh self or are they going to live out of their spirit self? Which self would they be authentic to? Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. When suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken at once. All the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Paul and Silas, with every reason to be upset, decided, I'm not going to allow my praise to be limited because of what I'm walking through. I'm not going to allow my praise to be restricted because of how I'm feeling. I'm going to allow my praise to erupt because it's because He's worthy. It's because He's holy. It's because He's glorious. And they began to sing. And they began to declare. And they began to worship and bring praise to God. We read it knowing what happened. They didn't know that was going to happen. They praised God anyway. Where's the young person bound in addiction but will praise God anyway? Where's the leader struggling with their mental health but will praise God anyway? Where's the teenager that walked in tonight saying, God, I don't know if you're real, but life is so hard. I'm going through family grief at the moment. I'm walking through a storm at the moment. I'm walking through a valley at the moment. But would say tonight, I'm not going to allow my praise to be limited by what God does and doesn't do. Praise is not a personality. Praise is not a situation. Praise is holy. And begin to worship God for who He is. Where's the young person who will make praise holy? Again, they began to praise and their praise turned their problem into a problem because the chains began to shake. The chains began to rattle. What challenges me, if we could put up verse 26, Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. That suddenly wasn't randomly. God's presence came because of the praise. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Could it be tonight that your praise is for more than just your problem? Your praise is not just a problem for your problem. Your praise is a problem for your neighbor's problem. Your praise is a problem for the person behind you's problem. Your praise isn't just enough to set you free. Your praise is enough to set others free. Could you imagine with me a youth ministry where teenagers and young people would come to a Belmont campus on a Friday night, struggling with mental health issues, struggling maybe from a family abuse situation, and maybe they don't have praise, but someone else does. And because they just happen to be in proximity, not only does that person get set free, but they get set free in that moment. I want to ask tonight, Nations Youth, where are the Pauls and the Silases who will make praise holy again? And not just praise for your breakthrough, but praise for those around you as well. Imagine the type of youth ministry where we did not praise based on how we felt. We didn't praise because of the situation. We didn't even praise because the band sounds good. Some of you are waiting to praise when the person next to you praises. Some of you are waiting for your friend to give you permission. Paul and Silas didn't have any other jailers praising with them. They were alone. You want to talk about being in an apathetic, quiet room? Welcome to Paul and Silas's prison. No one's praising. They're saying, shut up, you're making a scene. It's midnight, go to bed. Stop it. But Paul and Silas did not allow their praise to be determined by the environment and the atmosphere around them. They allowed their praise to be driven by the God in front of them. Where are the Pauls and the Silences who will make praise holy in their own life? Who will step out of the flesh them and into the spirit them? Who will clap, who will dance, who will sing, and not just see breakthrough for themselves, but see breakthrough to an entire generation? I believe tonight God is making praise holy again. And there's a few things I want to pray for, and then we're going to praise the Lord together. I'm going to move quickly. But I've just been so reminded of David and Goliath. In fact, before I do this, let's pray for people that don't know God. I think that'd be really good. Why don't you close your eyes, every person? If you're here tonight with your eyes closed and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this moment right now is for you. We're pausing this service because we know the most important thing for you to know tonight is that Jesus loves you. Jesus died on a cross for you. Jesus rose from the grave for you. He's coming back to earth one day. But he's not coming back for the whole world. He's coming back only for those who have made him their Lord and their Savior. And tonight is a moment for you. It's your opportunity to make Jesus your Lord, make him your Savior. You say, Matt, what does that mean? Well, Jesus died for your sin. We've all done sin. We've all done stuff we hate, we should have never have done. And the good news is you don't need to try to fix yourself or clean yourself. The Bible says anyone who believes in Jesus, that he died and rose again, will not be condemned for their sin, but will be forgiven of their sin. You can be assured that you go to heaven when you die. You can be the one Jesus comes back for. You can have a relationship with God. And it's got nothing to do with how good you are or what you have or haven't done, and everything to do with is Jesus the Lord of your life? I was in a service when I was 11 years old, and I grew up in church, but I had a moment just like this where the preacher invited people to lift their hands to invite Jesus to be their Lord, and my heart was racing, man. I thought I knew God, but I just knew I needed to respond at that moment. So I lifted up my hand, I said a prayer, Jesus came in, he's changed my life, and now 19 years later, I'm still walking with the Lord. I believe tonight is your night. God wants to introduce himself to you. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed across this room, if you're here tonight, you're saying, Matt, that's me. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. You could have even grown up in church, but you've never responded and given your life to Jesus. I don't want to ask you, are your parents Christian? I want to ask you, do you have your own relationship with God? If your answer isn't a yes, this is your moment to say yes. On the count of three, I want you to boldly and confidently lift your hand. I'll see it. You pop it straight back down. I'm going to say a prayer for you right where you are. And then we've got a gift we want to give you. But just so I know who I'm praying for, I want you in just a moment's time to lift that hand nice and high. People are going to clap because it's the best decision you could ever make. And maybe tonight your heart's racing. I want to encourage you, that could be God, I believe it is, knocking on the door of your heart. So on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to respond. Don't wait for your friend to do it. Tonight's your night. This is your moment. Jesus is here. He's knocking. One, two. Today's your day. Three. Would you lift your hand nice and high? Wonderful. I see that hand over there. 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 Amazing, amazing, amazing. Anyone else? We've got like four people that have made this decision. Anyone else looking around left or right? You want to give your life to Jesus tonight? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you right where you are. Just looking across this room with eyes closed, just myself and a few leaders at the back looking. Anyone else, you're here? Yeah, awesome, I see your hand. Thank you so much. Amazing, just a few more moments looking around. Jesus. I just really feel like there might be one or two people. Just wait 10 more seconds. Yeah, is that a hand over there, bro? Yeah, awesome, awesome. Great. Amazing. Anyone else want to join this like six or seven, please don't, people? I just feel like there's one last person you're wrestling. Yeah, that was, yeah, cool. Thank you, bro. Amazing, amazing, cool. Well, every single person, why don't you open your eyes? We're gonna pray together, stay seated, but just repeat these words after me. If you lifted up your hand, just mean it. Say this, say, Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
I thank you
that you sent Jesus Christ,
to die for me. I thank you that he rose again.
I confess.
I'm a sinner.
I've messed up.
But I thank you
that you're a Savior.
And you make me right.
Come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
All the days of my life.
I love you, God.
Come be my Lord.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a massive clap, a round of applause. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Come on, man. Hey, can we all just stand to our feet right now? I want to get every person to look at the person next to you and ask them, hey, did you put up your hand tonight or did you want to? And if the answer is yes, can we just get those lights up the back of the room for Huda and her team right now? Would you, if the answer was yes, would you take them by the hand? We just have a gift we want to get to you. We've got a Bible. One of our team would love to connect with you. Can we just give a massive round of applause, Nations Youth, for every young person that said yes to Jesus tonight? Yep, amazing, amazing, amazing. We're just gonna wait. Just every person, check with the person next to them. Did you say yes? Did you put up your hand? Just check one more time. There's a couple of guys over here. Please go. We'd love to get that Bible. Just go. They'll pray with you and you come straight back in. Yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome. Great, great, great. Amazing, amazing. Amazing. I just really don't want to miss anyone. Number one, praise is not a personality. Praise magnetizes God's presence. And praise is a problem for your problem. Yeah. And I feel tonight, in a moment's time, not yet. Please don't come at the front yet. But I'm going to open up this altar for young people that want to make praise holy again in their life. And you know, I've just been so reminded of the story of David and Goliath recently. And David tried to slay Goliath by putting on Saul's armor. The armor and the sword, it just didn't work. But what did work was his sling and his stone. That brought down that giant.
Yes.
And I just feel in this place, there are some Goliaths that people are facing. There are some Goliaths, not just you're facing, but your whole family's facing. And I just feel prophetically tonight, that the weapon of choice is not Saul's armor, it's David's sling and stone. And yet, there are times to fight through prayer and intercession. There are times to fight through fasting. There are times to fight through going to counseling or doing deliverance. But I just really sense in my spirit, God's weapon of choice tonight is He's wanting to restore praise.
Yes, yes. That praise is not just a song, it's a weapon. Praise is not just a moment, it's actually a mantle. And it's going to come upon you, it's going to come upon your household and your family. And just like David slung that stone and that sling, and it brought Goliath to his feet. I don't know what Goliath you're facing or my face, but I just want to prophesy tonight that Goliath of depression that's been staring you down the eyes, praise is a problem for your problem. That Goliath of anxiety that's been looking at you, praise is a problem for your problem. That Goliath of addiction that has been following you, that you can't escape, praise is a problem for your problem tonight. I don't know, maybe for you it's financial. Maybe for you it's like no matter how hard you try, you just can't break through. Every time something goes wrong, your season's always difficult. Praise is a problem for your problem. And there are three groups of people I want to pray for in seats tonight. The first group is you have withheld praise because you've said this line, this lie to yourself, it's not my personality. I want to pray for you that you'd step out of the flesh you and into the spirit you. If that's you right now, lift your hands, I'm going to pray. There's two other groups I'm going to pray for. If you said praise isn't my personality, I'm not really a loud person, I'm more of the quiet, you've withheld praise because you've concluded that's not your personality. You might be a leader in our ministry. If that's you right where you are, lift your hands. I want to pray for that to break tonight. Father, I thank you. I thank you for hands lifted across this room right now. For people that have withheld praise because they've said it's not their personality, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, help them to step out of the flesh them and into the spirit them. Would you restore the garment of praise in their life in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. The next group I want to pray for is you've withheld praise because of what you're walking through. Maybe it's not full withholding, it's just a little bit. That there was a season you used to praise more when things were easier, but now things are tougher. Now that Goliath is there, your praise has waned a little bit. I want to pray tonight that you'd get such a conviction of praise that it wouldn't be anything to do with your situation and everything to do with your God. If that's you, lift your hands right where you are in your seat. I want to pray that your praise would not be limited to a situation. It would be limitless because of God. Right where you are, lift your hands nice and high. You can be anyone in our ministry. You can be on the sound desk tonight, Father. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that our praise would no longer be restricted or withheld because of situations. Father God, tonight we repent as a youth ministry of praising you more sometimes and less other times. God, I pray tonight, would you restore the garment of praise, the garment of praise tonight in Jesus' mighty name. The last group I want to pray for, and it's just what I really feel. I hope it lands right. If not, it's all good. But there are people you've withheld praise and you haven't realized it. You've called it whatever, but it's actually pride. And it sounds a bit like, I don't want to be that guy. And I feel specifically for the men of God in this room that you've withheld praise because you've looked at the females and thought, ah, that's cool. That's what the girls do. Just like, Lord's eye, the girls are the intercessors. The girls are the prophets. But I'm more of the man on the tools type of guy. I'm the type of guy that I've got an image to keep. You haven't realized it. It's pride masquerading in your life. And I want to tell you, praise has not got to do whether you're female or male. It's, are you created in God's image? If you're here tonight, you can be male or female, and you would say, Matt, I want to not allow any ego or pride to withhold praise from God. David himself danced and praised, and his wife persecuted him, and he said, I'm going to get even more undignified and humiliated than this because my God is worthy. If you're here and you want to step out of pride and step into praise, even if it's an inch or if it's 12 miles right where you are, just lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Amazing. Hands lifted all across this room. Can we just sing You Will Be Praised, Jackson?
You will be praised With angels and saints, we sing worthy.
That's it.
Are you
Father, let pride
you will be
begin to die.
You will
and let
be
praise begin to arise.
Saints,
just take a moment in your seats
worthy.
And allow
are
praise to begin to arise in your heart.
You will be praised.
Oh, Lord.
You will be praised.
With angels and saints, we sing worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised.
You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing worthy.
Come on, would you let your praise rise tonight?
You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing worthy.
Oh, come on. Let that pride die right now in your chair and begin to allow praise to erupt, praise to be restored, praise to be lifted up.
We sing worthy.
You will.
You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing worthy.
That's what we're going to do. Is I really felt prophetically tonight, God was wanting to restore something. It says in Isaiah 61 verse 3 that he provides a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And you know what I felt tonight? I felt prophetically tonight, up the front, there is a spiritual garment of praise. And there's an invitation for you tonight. If you're saying, I want to take off that despair, that heaviness, that pride, that ego, and I want to put on the garment of praise, there's an invitation, there's an opportunity for you tonight in a moment's time to get out of your seat. And I just prophesy, I feel this, man, when you do, when your feet get here, something's coming on you. Can we bring it down? My voice just trying for a little moment. There are people in this place and you thought it was a personality, and the Holy Spirit is about to come on you in such a way that as you step forward, it's like, man, I literally can't contain it. I feel so, I gotta run, I gotta dance. I wanna tell you tonight, don't come forward and just be like, yeah, God, you'll be praised. Yeah, Jesus, you're, no. Don't come forward tonight and let the Arsenal celebrations look more holy than the Jesus celebration. Don't come forward tonight and allow what you're going through to put a bottle cap on your praise. But if you're here and you say, Matt, I want to put on the garment of praise, on the count of three, I want you to get up, I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to give God the most undignified, the most outrageous, the biggest clap, the biggest shout, the biggest hooray, the biggest dance of praise. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Turn my voice. Say it again. I
praise to Jesus. Oh, come on. One more time. Lift up a shout of praise to Jesus tonight. Oh, we love you, Lord. Now, I just feel in this moment that something we broke it through. I just feel like there's another layer. There is a freedom to be experienced. You know what happens in the world? People get drunk and they look back at videos and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've done that. What was I thinking? They were under the influence of a spirit. I believe tonight there's a different type of spirit in this room, the Holy Spirit. And I believe there's a type of undignified praise that God is going to release. Some of you, I literally feel like you're going to do conga lines around the building. I don't know what it looks like, but I want to encourage you, let your flesh go, let your spirit come alive. And I just believe that God is bringing a greater layer, a greater mantle, a greater anointing of freedom, of praise in His presence. So Jesus, we love you. Oh, we honor you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, when the ark comes back to the city,
when the ark comes back to the streets,
oh Lord,
when the ark comes back to the city,
we're gonna what?
We're gonna dance up, David, dance up.
When the ark comes back to the city,
when the ark comes back to the streets,
hey!
When the ark comes back to the city, we're gonna you got me running out of breath.
been washed in the water, washed in the blood of His goodness. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood.
Youth. We love you, Lord.
Oh, we praise. Oh, we praise.
I know some of our voices are gone, some of us are tired. But sometimes it's called a sacrifice of praise. Can we just, all across this place, lift your hands high to Jesus? And can you just give Jesus 15 seconds of the most undignified praise your body can give? Say, I'm never going back.
Never going back.
Turn your neighbor and say, I'm never going back.
Never going back.
I really feel tonight